Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome in, entering the second week of the Trump presidency, and it's hard to keep up, to be honest with you, but I think I've got a handle on it this morning. Colombia, let me see here. Was it Argentina? Was it Mexico? Is it Canada? All of these countries that have challenged Trump up to this point on what he wants have all buckled their knees so far, with the exception of China, who apparently matched our tariff overnight.
And raised it.
They said we're doing
10%. They said 10%, and then they said 15% on what was
wow.
it?
Oh, wow. They're upping the ante, huh?
There's a portion of it that's going to be higher, and that takes effect February 10th.
Just so you know, your trip to the dollar store may cost you more than a dollar, and if you're ordering stuff on Temo, don't.
There's a good start. Wherever that's based out of.
Yeah. What's the new? Isn't there a new one that just opened out here in West County somewhere? Or in West, in St. Charles County?
I saw
there's a new Chinese outlet store or something out there. I'm trying to think of the name of it.
I just mean all these online stores that a lot of women, and I know I've ordered from Shein, but you can get a dress for like $5. It takes weeks to come in.
Yeah.
And it's usually, you know, it's a crapshoot. Sometimes it's nice quality and sometimes it's not even wearable.
I have ordered from one of those sites before. I won't now, but I have ordered from those sites where the things are incredibly cheap. And I'm convinced in some cases that they're selling stuff out the front door and the back door at the same time. That American manufacturers are buying stuff and overpricing it, and you can buy it directly from them for a lot cheaper. But we'll see what happens. Trump has won all of these to date. My guess is he'll win this one, too, because it is about behavior modification. We've used that word a couple of times this morning, and I think it's an important one, necessary. Necessary in the short term. Just buckle your seatbelts. It'll be fine. You'll be just fine. Coming up, we got Jason Chaffetz, formerly in the House of Representatives, currently a Fox News contributor. You see him on there all the time. I think he might have been on the big show this weekend. I'm trying to think with Todd Pyro. I should ask him about that. And he's also the host of a new podcast called Jason in the House. We're going to talk to him at about 8:20. Later this hour, remember Elliot Davis from Fox 2? Elliot went on a pretty big rant yesterday on social media about the homeless situation in downtown St. Louis. And apparently where they've gathered down here, and it used to be across the street here from the radio station. They're now further down 12th Street. There's a huge garbage problem that the city won't take care of. And Elliot has stated publicly today that he is paying for a dumpster to be placed down there so the garbage can be taken care of and hauled away, and then he's going to have the dumpster returned so that they don't have a garbage problem.
Okay, but I applaud his efforts there. Very noble of him to do that.
Right.
Who's to say that the people are actually going to utilize that dumpster?
Unless
somebody like Elliot goes and actually puts the trash in the dumpster to make sure it's there, it's just going to remain on the street.
I think you should ask him that question, and he's been nice enough to agree to join us here at about 8:45. So we're going to get to Elliot Davis, formerly of Fox 2, on there. He's retired now, but he's still been pretty active in talking about a lot of these stories. And he's been pretty critical of the fact that all those millions of dollars that they're arguing over right now, they have to decide by the end of the week how they're going to spend all this money and all this Rams money, because they're going to go out of session until the election in April. So they've only got 3 or 4 days now to figure all this out. Anyway, Elliot Davis at about 8:45. So stay tuned for that. We'll get to Ryan Wiggins as well. But right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We are 2 weeks in, and President Trump is already delivering big wins for the American people. Let's go through the facts. Promises made, promises kept, and we're just getting started.
Caroline Leavitt with a new video they released from the White House just talking about all of the winning.
I love the concept of it.
Yeah, that's a program.
Sure, I love the concept, but they turn out to be radical left lunatics. And the concept of it is good, but it's all about the people.
Yeah, he's talking about USAID, the Humanitarian International Aid Organization, that we've been spending trillions of taxpayer dollars on, and some of the money has been spent on things you just about can't believe.
Somebody said, well, what would you do? What can you do?
So easy. I drop a 25% tax on China.
That was Donald Trump back in 2012, long before he ran for office. He's been plotting out how to get the world trade situation back on even footing and quit watching the U.S. being taken advantage of, because it has happened far too often.
We are bullying them. Now he's going to tax our tequila and avocados?
Yeah.
The View, that was The View melting down over this. Oh, no, he's bullying them. He's bullying other countries. Well, yeah. Yeah, you could call it that if you need to. The point is, if you're being taken advantage of, you want to have somebody who's going to defend you. Donald Trump's defending you.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea, on the ladies on The View don't, and I don't care what their gender is. They have no idea how much this country has wasted in taxpayer dollars to things that don't matter to American taxpayers around the globe. And it's not about bullying with USAID dollars or trade dollars. It's about spending the money wisely, mm-hmm, and getting fair treatment when it comes to trade.
By the way, not to interrupt you, but I wanted to announce this because it could be breaking news. It sounds like the committee, so it doesn't sound like it's the full Senate, but the committee could be voting on RFK Jr. at 10 a.m., which I assume would be 9 a.m. our time, so right, yes, as the show is ending. And then Tulsi Gabbard looks like she's up for a vote around 2 p.m. So I'm gonna, it doesn't say Eastern time here, but I'll assume that that would probably mean 1 o'clock our time.
Yes.
So this is big, because those were, I think those are among the two people who are going to be very hard to get in. Also, Kash Patel.
I would agree. So committee votes, it has to get out of committee.
Yes.
But this will be the floor.
This will be indicative of kind of where they're at. So I think this will be very telling how the committee votes. Don't you think this,
yeah,
could give us some sense at least of how this could go if it, you know?
I have a feeling they'll get out of committee. I do.
Okay,
because
it's like a
one
margin,
vote. Well, it's like a one vote margin.
Okay.
I mean, they have, because Republicans are in charge, they have one more vote than the Democrats on these committees. So it has to be by a one vote margin. If a single Republican votes no, it's tied, mm-hmm, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
So they,
yeah, because
they won't get any Democrat votes.
J.D. Vance is the tiebreaker, but that's only when it goes to the full Senate.
Senate.
Yep, right.
That's a great point. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I had not seen that. Jason Chaffetz coming up next. Of course, he used to serve in Congress, and he is now on Fox quite often. He's got a new podcast out. We'll ask him about all that right after this.
Are you currently in charge of USAID?
I'm the acting director of USAID. I've delegated that authority to someone, but I stay in touch with him. And again, our goal was to go in and align our foreign aid to the national interest.
Marco Rubio, I am the acting director of USAID. So in other words, we've tried to get them to cooperate in the past. They are operated by the Department of State, and I am in charge. And I'm not saying we're going to cut everything. What I'm saying is we're going to make it sure it's in the best interests of the United States. And can I just ask a simple question? Why wouldn't we? That seems so obvious to me. We're lucky enough to have Jason Chaffetz with us this morning. Of course, former congressman, former chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. And now, of course, he's got his new podcast, the Jason in the House podcast. And, sir, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. And, yeah, common sense. You would think that, I mean, this is what the crazy, the Democrats are fighting against common sense. That's what they've taken the position against. And so we need to look at every expenditure going out the door. They are hyperventilating. They cannot give the American people's money away fast enough to foreign countries.
Well, Jason, watching them on the the steps of the House yesterday, wherever they held that news conference, it reminded me of a temper tantrum, like something had been taken away from them. So, and it made me wonder, what was your stake in this, that you're so worried that $50 million won't be spent on condoms in Gaza?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It's like they were standing in front of an empty USAID building because the security guard said, no, wait, we see enough nefarious activity here. We're not going to let people back in the building until we sort this stuff out. Marco Rubio is in charge. Give him a chance to sort this out. And they say, oh, it's illegal, I heard Senator Van Hollen say. No, it's not. Making sure that there's no waste, fraud, and abuse. But look at what the Democrats are fighting for. They cannot give the American taxpayer money away, money that we're in debt for, by the way, fast enough. That's what they're fighting for. And that's why I think most of America scratches their head. They really, do we have to get the checks out this week? What's the imperative?
Because there's been so much mismanagement, which is, it should be so obvious to people. I think that's why we're all really hoping that Trump's cabinet picks can get through this confirmation process. And I heard this morning that Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. are up for a committee vote. I think RFK Jr. first around 10 a.m. and then Tulsi Gabbard later on this afternoon around 2. What are your thoughts as we try to get more of these people through? And Kash Patel, I don't think he's had a vote yet.
Yeah, Pam Bondi, fortunately, as the attorney general, will get a vote on the floor for final confirmation, and I think that will sail through. Look, with Tulsi Gabbard, she's wonderful. I served with her. I know her exceptionally well. She's the right person in that job. But she got the support of Susan Collins, and I think that'll push it over the edge. I think she'll get almost all the Republicans at this point. I think she'll do well. RFK Jr., that's going to be harder. It so much falls down on Bill Cassidy. He's a doctor, senator from Louisiana. He has not said where he's going to go unless he's done so in the last hour, and I haven't seen it. But you can still, even if you lose a voting committee, you can still be passed on the floor of the Senate. So we'll see what happens. Everything's not on the committee vote, but he probably has the hardest time at this point. Kash Patel has done a yeoman's work, and I think will also get confirmed fairly easily, actually.
Yeah, former Congressman Jason Chaffetz, our guest right now. I played a bite this morning from Donald Trump back in 2012 talking about tariffs. Listen to this.
Somebody said, well, what would you do? What can you do?
So easy. I drop a 25% tax on China.
That was at a speech he gave in 2012, long before he ran for office. What's your reaction to the meltdown over the threat of tariffs, which has been very effective with Canada and Mexico so far?
Well, Donald Trump's he's pretty transparent. He doesn't really, he actually... will tell you exactly what he wants to do. And he said something yesterday that I wish more people would pick up on, which is reciprocity. If you treat us fairly, equally, then you don't have a problem with the United States. We're not going to slap tariffs on you, but you're taking advantage of our country. We have major trade imbalances. You won't allow U.S. goods to be sold in your countries without tariffs. And the scourge of fentanyl and other drugs coming across our border, plus the illegal immigration, which happened by the millions, you're not going to keep doing that to the United States of America. And until you step up and do something, we're going to put these tariffs on you. Highly effective. It worked in Colombia. It worked with Panama, with Mexico. 10,000 troops now coming to the border.
Yeah.
Canada's putting 10,000 in at $1.3 billion and pointing at border czar. I mean, that happened in a couple days. And we're better off this week than we were last week.
Well, it makes good fodder for our radio show and, I'm sure, for your new podcast, right, which is nationally syndicated.
That's right. Yeah, the Jason in the House podcast. Hope you have a chance to listen to it. Like, I served with all these people in the House. And these senators and at Fox News, and they're now all running the world. So, you know, I can get them on a podcast. So it works out pretty well.
Yeah, access is everything. That is absolutely the truth. Former Congressman Jason Chaffetz, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, best of luck with everything. We appreciate that. You can get the Jason in the House podcast wherever you download your podcast as well. And he's even running it as a syndicated radio show, I believe, on weekends in the country. Pretty cool stuff. Coming up, Ryan Wiggins, host of Wiggins America. We'll get him in studio. And then Elliot Davis is going to join me before the end of the hour to talk about the way the city is treating some of the homeless folks downtown and why Elliot's offered to step in and help. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is not the time to shut down the diversity of voices. We've seen on this stage talented, hardworking people from different backgrounds with different points of view, and it changes the game. DEI is not a threat, it's a gift.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Yeah, that was Alicia Keys from the Grammy. I would agree with her there. DEI is a gift because you didn't earn it. Somebody gave it to you. Can we just call DEI what it is? What a bunch of garbage. I just love it when these, Ryan, when these big stars get up and they use their moment in the sun there to try to push their political point.
So how much did you watch the Grammys?
None.
I didn't either. I didn't either. I just consumed it the next day and headlines like that.
Exactly.
I mean, half these. It's weird because half the artists, I'm like, they're still making music, and the other half you're like, I've never heard of these people. So,
or the other half you're disgusted by because of the lack of clothing they're wearing. Just so classless and tasteless. I mean, I have so many words I could describe what not just Kanye West's wife was wearing, but many of these people are just basically naked walking the red carpet, and somehow police are not arresting them for indecent exposure. Children watch this. This used to be an award show that children, I would sit down with my parents when I was growing up sometimes and watch some of these award show. I couldn't give two, I don't care about these anymore. But it's like, you can't have your children watching this anymore because you're going to see inappropriate stuff.
That part of it wasn't live.
Oh, wasn't?
I don't think it was live.
No. It's before the red carpet. Yes, they do live coverage.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about?
When she dropped her coat, they weren't on live TV at that point. I mean, that wasn't the part they televised nationally, correct?
No. Well, I don't watch.
I think they record all that stuff when they're walking in on the red carpet.
It's on
and
like
then
E or
maybe
red carpet.
Okay.
Station.
Well, regardless, I agree. I agree. It's disgusting. Don't get me wrong. I didn't know if a national TV audience saw Kanye West make a total fool of his wife.
Yeah. When I saw that, Kim, to your point, I said I will never do that.
Walk naked on the red carpet.
I vow to never do that.
Good for you.
Thank you, Wiggins. We appreciate that.
You're representing Christianity well, because Kanye West tried to say he became a Christian. And
I don't know what, man.
I'm sorry, but
I don't know what
allowing your no
is happening with Kanye. Maybe he'll have another come to Jesus moment.
I pray to God that
he
does.
Needs to, that's for sure.
But yeah, I didn't know you had that sound, because that was one of the things I was going to bring up from the Grammys. In just the last couple weeks, we've seen celebrities freaking out. They don't know what to do. And it's funny because they're really kind of indicative of the Democrat establishment, which is just flailing. You know, they have no direction. Trump is hitting them from every direction. They can't keep up. You're watching it on the news media. They don't know what to do right now.
I heard Annie play a little bit of that sound. We've actually pulled some of it this morning of the Democrats trying to describe. They had to read it off a piece of paper. What the rules were as they tried to elect a new leader of their party. This is how confused the Democrats are right now. Go to cut two, Carl, please. I'm cut 12. I'm sorry, cut 12.
The rules specify that when we have a gender non-binary candidate or officer, the non-binary individual is counted as neither male nor female, and the remaining six offices must be gender balanced. With the results of the previous four elections, our elected officers are currently two male and two female. In order to be gender balanced, we must elect one male, one female, and one person of any gender. So again, this is what we have to do for this vice chair race. We have to elect one male, one female, and one person of any gender.
I don't even know where to start. It's like It's like they went to an asylum and had somebody write up the rules for their convention. What does any of that even mean? What difference does it make? What are the chances you get the best person for the job if those are the requirements walking into it, that no matter what happens, everything has to be balanced?
Yeah, yeah, it's the perfect example of DEI.
I know.
Because what they're saying is, well, we know they're let's say there are tons of qualified female candidates, but not as many male, and definitely from the pool, it would be a lot less of the non-binary. You automatically are decreasing your talent because you're pulling from people who have less.
Yes.
You know, you have less amount of people in this pool who would be talented.
And they wanted diversity and equity, but they ended up with two white guys.
Yeah, right. I didn't even think about that. Well, that's very true.
They did.
What stops somebody from just saying, I identify as non-binary, so that they don't have to, like, if they have one spot left, they're a man, they'd be like, well, I actually identify as non-binary, and then wouldn't you be able to go to the women's side?
I don't think there's anything stopping. There's no real, how do you prove that that's not true?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because if you say you're not non-binary, you would say, how dare you question my truth?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But the Grammys thing, you played that sound at the beginning from Alicia Keys. All of this stuff, and the star, Shakira is another one. She said at the Grammys, in this country, you're loved, you're worth it, and I was always fight with you to immigrants and mothers. Well, that's great. That's a great statement in and of itself.
Yeah.
I love immigrants and mothers. There is nothing happening in this country to immigrants and mothers. It's like they cannot understand, like Selena Gomez, you cannot understand the difference between legal and illegal immigration. There is no difference in their mind between these things. And they've lost their compass over it because somebody can't explain the difference between legal and illegal immigration. It's that simple.
They don't care, basically. They don't want to define it.
No,
they want you to believe that it's the same thing whether you came here legally or illegally, and you don't have a country if you don't have sovereign borders. That just nothing about that works. The United States, we say it over and over again, is the most generous country in the world when it comes to immigration. Over 1 million people a year are welcomed here legally, because you've gone through a process. You can't skip the process.
I mean, how many fewer people like Selena Gomez, though, would be so upset about this if the news media weren't constantly showing these sob stories of women,
who their husbands came
and they're ripped away from their families? I mean, that has a really big impact, and they really target women because there's something about us. I think God created us to be very naturally empathetic. And they know that if you show someone crying or talking about losing his children, that's going to tug at our heartstrings, and that's extremely effective.
It makes you wonder if they know that, or they just don't care because they're thought leaders, and they're like, look, I'm going to go out on this anyway, or if they're just watching the news just like everybody else, but they're only watching in their bubble. They don't hear anything else, and so they think, well, this must be what's happening in America. Anybody who's... This is the way it's portrayed. If you're not white, you're basically a target now, which is insane. Like Alicia Keys' quote of, we've seen on this stage talented, hardworking people from different backgrounds, with different points of view, and it changes the game. DEI is not a threat. It's a gift.
Yeah.
These things that are being implemented right now will have no bearing on the music industry or the Grammys next year. It will look no different.
No.
But they think it will. Or they're trying to deceive people to think it will. I don't know which.
I'd say it's number two. they're trying to deceive people to think that, right? I mean, come on. You can see that with your own two eyes. But, plus country music album of the year. I mean, Beyonce's got some great music, but compared to some of the Morgan Wall, I mean, there's no way that album was better than some of the other albums out there, even if you want to accept it as country.
I also, like Rolling Stones, look, I love classic rock.
Yes.
But is that really the best rock album that's come out in the last 12 months or whatever they won?
No.
Clearly, you're just coasting on your name at this point. And that's what the Grammys have been for years. Completely aside from the political stuff, the Grammys, I mean, Carl's nodding his head. Come on.
It's because
I was watching the hockey game.
Okay.
Beyonce fans would be, she has such a loyal following. I don't really like Beyonce, to be honest, but she has such a loyal following that her fans are just crazy, so mad if she doesn't win, and they say it's rigged, and then they're going to say you're racist because you didn't vote for Beyonce because she's black. And it's like Taylor Swift, although Taylor, I guess, didn't win anything, I heard.
She didn't.
I think she was up for like 6 or 7. I'm pretty sure she didn't win. I'm sure the T-Swift fans are raging.
Oh, the Swifties are mad today. All right, Wiggins, remind people when they can hear Wiggins America, please.
7 to 8 on Saturday morning and 7 to 8 on Sunday night.
I listened this past Sunday. Great job, my friend. Thank you. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Elliot Davis, recently retired from Fox 2 News, but still covering stories here in the area, particularly the homeless issue in St. Louis. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. You know, apparently they're going to be back at it at the Board of Aldermen today talking about this issue with the Rams settlement money. I've pointed out a number of times here, Kim, that not a dime of it's going to public safety. I mean, maybe for some building upgrade or something, but not for more cops on the street.
I think it's like a 911 dispatch center, something like that.
I don't know exactly where their priorities are down there. It's certainly not going toward any of the homeless problem either. And I noticed this post on social media by our friend Elliot Davis, formerly of Fox 2 News, and I asked him if he'd give us a few minutes this morning. Elliot, good morning.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for agreeing to join us for a couple of minutes this morning. I saw you've been so active in the community since your retirement. I think the last time I saw you, I'm like, dude, it's like you're still working.
Somebody said I was going to have to go back to work to get some rest.
I could see that for sure. You know, your post, for some reason, I know it was a couple days ago, but your post about the renting a dumpster for some of the trash that has piled up downtown near the homeless shelter, I wanted to ask you about that. What has motivated you? I mean, why hasn't the city stepped in down there?
Well, this was at the homeless encampment, and this, of course, is a move by, you know, independent people who've set up tents there. City didn't set this one up. This was folks who set up tents and everything down there. And there was a old dumpster there at first that somebody had put there. This was during the summertime. Anyway, filled to the brim, couldn't be used anymore. The city just left it there, did nothing. I finally pressed and pressed, and the city finally got the waste management company to haul that one away. But what they didn't do was put another dumpster there with a way to have it periodically emptied. And I kept pressing the administration, pressing Mayor Tashara Jones and her administration to do it. They did nothing. The garbage was piling up for months and months since the summertime. It was just piling up there. It was crazy. I went to the health director. She admitted this is a problem. And she did her study, kicked it up to the mayor's office, still nothing. So finally, God really put it on my heart to do something myself, so I rented a dumpster for them, really big dumpster, so they could put the trash in, and with arrangements to have it emptied every month. But when I rented the dumpster, Mike Avery, and some other folks basically organized volunteers to come down and help the homeless. The homeless were part of it. Help them pick up all the trash. The church rented a second dumpster so they'd have enough to put the trash in. And so now it looks dramatically different.
Well, and maybe this is why the latest poll shows Tashara Jones not doing so hot. Kara Spencer was significantly higher in the poll that we saw. And I think that also plays into what was done with the snow removal. You know, many people talking about how they basically had a sheet of ice on their street for weeks.
They have been tone deaf. I've been trying to get Tashara Jones to put in a warm-up bus for the homeless, the same as Mayor Lida Cruzan had done, so the people would have a place to go when the temperature got, like, we got down to 4 degrees. So many of them are just wandering around the streets. Some of them don't have any place to go. They used to have the warm-up bus put up by the city. Now some of the homeless groups have to try to cobble together their pennies to do it. But the cities used to do it, had this bus out there. Homeless would come. They could get warm. Then arrangements would be made to get them to the shelter. On cold days, like bitter cold days, they would have the bus out there at noon. Tashara Jones refused to do that. A lot of things, this mayor has refused to do it. I just think they're tone deaf.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think it may be reflected.
I'm being nice this morning, Mark.
I appreciate it, Elliot. You know, we noticed we're down here at Olive and 12th Street. The used to be homeless park in the fireman's park over here across the street between us and City Hall, and they put up fencing around it a year and a half ago, and they've never removed it. It says it's a reclamation project, but they've never done any reclamation. They just wanted the homeless out of there. They just move them around like chess pieces.
I remember when I think the DNC was going to have some event, and Kamala Harris, I think, was coming in for that meeting of the DNC, and then the mayor had the homeless removed from City Hall. She says it wasn't connected, but it causes the average person to say,
She didn't want that tent right outside of her office window when the vice president came to town. Yeah. Elliot, so listen.
It has been just something that God put into my heart to do it. The mayor wasn't doing it. I said, I'm going to do it. And when I got involved and did that, other people who felt the same way, they got on board and made it happen, and the place looks a lot cleaner.
Well, glad that you've still got the bully pulpit to get that done. Elliot Davis with us, and he's on Facebook, and you can follow him there and kind of keep up with him. Elliot, I'd say enjoy
Elliot
your
– Davis on Elliot Davis TV.
Yeah, Elliot Davis TV on Facebook, and keep up the good work, my friend. Stay in touch.
Thank you, buddy.
All right.
Bye.
Take care of yourself. Appreciate that. I saw Elliot up at the Veterans Day Parade in Florissant this year. He was their keynote speaker. He stood up and said a few words. So it was good to see him again.
He was at Guns N' Roses, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see him down there on the floor. You're right. He's been all over the place. You wouldn't know he's retired, for sure. All right. That's going to do it for us. Couple of committee nomination hearings today. Kim reported this earlier. RFK Jr.,
yep.
Tulsi Gabbard. Looks like Pam Bondi might get a floor vote at some point, so we're going to be keeping an eye on that all day. Brian Kilmeade will have more on that for you coming up here next from Fox. And, of course, Annie and Mark later this afternoon. Have a great Tuesday. Kim, Carl, and I will see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.